Hello.
Well, okay. Hi, good morning.
Hi, morning.
I am 17 years old and I am in Lower Six. And my
You
purpose
are
for, pardon me?
you're 17 and you are, well, I missed that latter part of what you said.
Six. Lower
Sick.
Six. Yes.
Lower six.
Yes, please.
At school, yes, okay.
Okay, so my purpose for calling here this morning is to sound the alarm as it relates to the decisions made by the various ministries of education, and
Yeah.
specifically the Ministry of Education here in Barbados and by extension CIC. And I want to add on to the conversation about mental health when the girl was speaking earlier this morning. She was speaking about how it's not taken seriously in our society and there are not enough avenues for younger people to be able to, speak to somebody or get help. And I think that another perspective that you could look at to show how, it's not taken seriously is when you look at the fact that all that we have going on right now as it relates to COVID, you can't speak to people that you used to, you can't socialize. And on top of that, we are expected to do exams. No, last year we would have had confusion with the results, and students would have protested or whatever the case may be. In December, there was a meeting held at the gymnasium by the Ministry of Education, and the purpose of this meeting was to allow students to report their experiences of having to learn under the harsh conditions brought on by COVID-19. And as a student leader, I was selected to represent my school at the meeting. And I do believe that many students assume that their reports would have had some effect on the decision that would be made as it relates to the examination. Now, while I was at this meeting, I heard nothing but complaints from students of all schools. At this meeting, most students would have complained about lacking, the needed resources and the time to sit the exams this year. And then about 2 weeks ago, the Ministry of Education would have come to the decision that it would be best that exams would be in the June to July period. And I have no idea how they would have come to this decision because the inputs don't really match the output. And I think that we're going through this problem because just like mental health, we don't address things the way that we should. And because we don't, it continues to happen over and over and over again.
All right,
I
what you
personally
want, what I would like you to do for me is to give me your sense of the downside of the ministry setting June to July for exams, because you see, you're not sure how to reach that decision.
Right. Okay, so I would say that students are under so much pressure right now, so much pressure. You don't even have to look at just being a student. You could just look at being a human being and the pressure that you're going to be under. You have to deal with emotions that come along with being a teenager, hormones. You have to deal with the same mental health. You have to deal with poverty. Some people's parents would have lost their jobs. And you also have to worry about if your family is going to be sick, if you are going to be sick, then you have to throw all of that into a nice box and add on the bow of having to do an exam. There's just not enough time to cover everything that we have to learn for the syllabus. They're insisting that we do all three papers, which would be the SBA, the multiple choice paper, and the long paper. So, therefore, is the same format, the same syllabus, and less time because we would have started school later this school year. So they're only giving us until June, July to do the exams. And last term, we would have been at school for half a term because we would have had the group A, group B, where students would, one group would go to school on specific days and the others would go to school on specific days. And when one group is at home, the other group is learning, and that group that is at home isn't learning anything. So the teaching time would have been cut in half. And I don't understand why they would be insisting on us having to do exams so soon when nobody is prepared. No students have indicated that they are prepared.
What is your recommendation in the circumstances, therefore?
I believe that they should extend the dates for the exams to at least about August, because there's no way to properly cover the syllabus during this time period. It's simply way too short, and the grades will most likely be mediocre. I know a lot of people who haven't even had the situation with their results from last year. Their results haven't been fixed as yet either. So there's a lot of doubt and, you know, worry as it revolves around the grades and whatever the case may be.
So the question I have for you is, share with us what that is doing to you personally.
Okay. So I am an older sister, and when my mom goes to work, I have the responsibility of taking care of her during the day or whatever the case may be. I have to make sure that I prepare breakfast for her, have her on her classes by a certain time, make sure that she's doing what she has to do. And I still
How old is she?
8 years old.
How much?
8 years old.
8 years old.
Right.
So I have to pay particular attention to her.
Right. And then I also have to make sure that I get to my classes. My classes start way earlier than hers. I am on at about 8 and she's on around 9. So I have to make sure that I get into my classes on time. I get what I have to get for myself. And then I have to make sure that she is, you know, she is started out. And then my lunch time is at 10, and it finishes at 11:30. So her lunch time is at 12. So I have to make sure that I'm able to get something to eat for myself and that she's able to get something to eat. And it's very frustrating because I feel like it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to feel this way. I don't know why it is that they're insisting on putting us through all of this when they're not even the ones sitting the exam. All the adults want to talk for us, speak for us, and say, well, you know, you can handle this. But none of them actually had to be in this position. So I don't understand how they could make decisions like this and not include the students the way that we should be included.
So you feel that they're being insensitive?
Of course, I do believe that.
Okay. Thanks for taking the time and sharing your situation with us. You know, this whole question of being the older child having to look after the younger child or younger children is something that is part and parcel of our experience as people growing up. And, you know, in all of this, you talk about the pressure that you are under. What are you picking up from your younger sister? What's she telling you?
I think it's very hard for her to be able to focus and, you know, to catch up and keep up with the work that she's doing.
Okay. Thanks again. Thank you very much for 17 years old to come and express yourself. Again, another encouraging experience for us here today, where younger people are letting their voices be heard and are quite good at expressing themselves. The only thing about this is that so far, we've only heard from females, and we need to hear from some of the males as well. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Seems to be some difficulty hearing you.
Hello, Mr. Day. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. No, I just had a very quick comment pertaining to the earlier call on the environment and plastic bags and so forth. And while I agree fully that education in schools is important, I think it's also worth calling attention to the situation in the United States when they had a similar problem. And very, very quickly after they instituted a significant fine for littering, and were quite vigorous in pursuing it, they changed public behavior over a course of a couple of years, a small number of years, and littering, people throwing stuff out of cars and so forth on highways, virtually stopped or decreased significantly. So I think that that, in addition to the education, we need to see a serious attempt to put penalties in place and to implement those penalties, to charge people and fine them. We saw one instance here several months ago where a person was charged for littering, and we've never heard of another one. It has to be consistent and persistent, and it will change along with the education. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, David.
Yes, hello.
I would like to deal with the young lady who spoke about mental health a short while ago. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you are aware, okay, that she might be endangering her own mental health by trying to help these persons. Now, if you are a trained professional, you have an office and so on, and you meet your clients and you take notes, and then on evenings you put away your file and you go home. And those problems that you had to deal with are filed away. But she's a person operating from home. So she is burdening herself with the problems of these people 24/7. And I think she's putting her mental health at risk by doing that.
You want a response to that? Are you asking for a response from me, or you just want
a response from you or her? I would like to suggest that
she's not on the line at the moment.
All right. Well,
I don't believe that what you said is being said here for the first time. One of the other callers did indicate to her that she needed to exercise caution in that regard. And she responded by saying that from where she sits, she believes that she is getting the kind of support. She's not oblivious to the point, but she feels that she is able to get the kind of support from her parents that has helped her along this path. Now, at the core of all of this, my friend, though, is this. How much of an avenue exists for her to tell friends go elsewhere? She feels compelled to listen because she identifies with the concerns that they are raising. There are many people who will say, as far as they are concerned, I have no solution to the problem, and therefore I suggest that you go and talk to somebody else because I can't take on this burden. She's not built like that. She's not built like that. So since you recognize what a danger it is that she is exposed to, talk about where she can send people.
Well, I would like to suggest that the station organize a program with 2 hours a certain evening, and you invite some mental health personnel, and persons can pose questions like doctor on call and all those sort of things. Okay, what do you think about that?
Well, I can say to you that over the recent past, we have had some focus on this question of mental health. It has come up within the Sunday afternoon program that is hosted by one of the doctors in the country. There's always scope to bring to the table something that is specific to mental health. All of this, I mean, is a work in progress. But, you know, the station by itself cannot resolve the problem that you have just raised. And that, because not everything can be discussed on a call-in program or a radio program. There are things that are confidential and private. And therefore, those people need to be able to go to different people, whether it's the public sector and the private sector, to address those concerns. And I think one of the earlier points coming out of the discussion is that Barbados needs to concentrate a little bit more on trying to provide those types of spaces. Okay?
Okay. That's thanks, Rodney.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning. This is Alice. Can you come on the line?
Morning.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I am very well, and I trust that you are enjoying your recent retirement. I didn't get the opportunity to call in the time to pay tribute to you for the phenomenal work that you have done over the course of your working life and the contribution you've made to this country and the region.
Thank you.
I have called in, as you would expect, to speak briefly to the Caribbean Examinations Council issue. And every time that I'm called upon to reflect upon it, it fills me with a certain sense of sadness, because regional integration is something that the region has grappled with over the decades. And it is often said that in terms of the educational output, in terms of something like the University of the West Indies, the CXE, those are really two very tangible examples of where it has been successful. And it saddens me, therefore, that an institution that we would have praised all of this time for the excellent work that it has done in terms of its contribution to the region would now be erring in the way and the manner which it has been for the last few years, but certainly the last year and continuing to the present time. In the present, we have really understood the importance of consulting with people. The government of Barbados, for example, led by the Prime Minister, places in a special influence on consultation with all stakeholders far and wide. And the Prime Minister does it all the time. Members of her cabinet do it all the time. And that spirit of consultation often ensures that the best decisions can be reached because you have either consensus or, even if there might be disagreement, individuals can understand the process used to arrive at a particular conclusion. Regrettably, I think someone might have reflected on it earlier, I wasn't able to listen to your whole program. I was engaged in other matters for most of the morning. But the fact is that some of the persons most impacted by the actions of the Caribbean Examinations Council are students and teachers. But certainly students were not really, as far as I'm aware, consulted with respect to the announcement of plans for this year's examinations. That underscores, in my view, an untenable situation where you have the person most impacted having a little say in the matter. And it doesn't bode well in terms of how our young people come to perceive our institutions and their role and place in it. We have an existing problem in our own country with a lot of people who feel, justifiably so, not part of the process. And when we have instances such as this with something as significant as their examinations, which really and truly determine a big play a major role in the setting of the next course of their life, and they're not even consulted on it, that leads to serious social problems. It leads to serious problems in terms of how persons perceive their standing in our own society. More than that, after the unfortunate occurrences of the last year, where a number of students, quite a number of them, would have received grades that were not matching that which they would have inputted, certainly, then the council really ought to have adopted a position and a posture of contrition and accepted that mistakes were made, because ultimately mistakes happen. The CXE is not responsible for COVID-19, and every institution has been impacted by its fallout. And we get things wrong, and that is as human as anything else. The issue is a response to getting things wrong. And when you misdiagnose the problems, so for example, the council insists that teacher leniency or teacher inflation, or essentially that teachers are to blame for the issues. And that, in my view, is a misdiagnosis of the problem. But the issue is that when you misdiagnose the problem, then you can't come up or formulate an effective treatment plan. And that has carried through to this year, where you have last year, very few Caribbean countries had, by June or July when the exams, or July when the exams were held, very few Caribbean countries, except perhaps the larger territories, had really breached that 1,000 mark in respect of the cases.
We are at a point in this in the program where we have to go to the regional roundup and then take a look at the major stories that are coming up at 12:30. So are you prepared to wait until we come back and so that you can expand on this matter a little further?
That's no problem at all.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. It's 5 minutes after midday. Welcome to the program.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Right. So thank you for allowing me to stay on to finish the point.
Yes, sir.
The issue in mind is that last year we had a situation where very few territories had passed the 1,000 mark in terms of their incidences of COVID-19 when the exams took place last year, when only one paper was administered. And even that had its problems, but there was no the incidence of COVID-19 was not certainly in any way the second wave that we are experiencing. In the news broadcast a moment ago in the OCM regional roundup, you would have heard at the top of the package, that Jamaica is experiencing right now a worrying increase in their case load in that country. Jamaica accounts for nearly half, or as a matter of fact, I believe half of the number of candidates that are assessed by the CXC. And in Barbados, we have had our own struggles this past year, well, this year thus far with COVID, and we appear as though we may be emerging up to the end of it if we continue to do that which we have to do. But that doesn't change the fact that even as vaccines come on stream and we begin to emerge from COVID, that students have lost effectively 2 terms of learning because we are approaching the end of the term. And students who sit external exams generally only have those 2 terms. So the idea that you can have students sitting exams in June and July in an environment that is worse off than it was last year, having lost all of that time, it boggles the mind. The country would have seen the comments of Dr. Joyce St. John, the executive director at CARFA, as well as Dr. Lynn of BAM here in Barbados, in connection to holding exams at that particular point in time, and the logic or the science, as they were to put it, the epidemiology and all of that, that undergirds or would underpin such a decision. So the idea that would be acceptable for the health of the students who have to sit those examinations, the persons employed by CXC to invigilate those examinations, and none of that really, the logic behind that, none of that has been discussed with the public or with key stakeholders such as students. And so it can only appear can see that there might be good reason and that there might be modeling which supports that conclusion. However, the issue is that when you don't speak to people, when you don't consult with people, then it leads, therefore, to a belief that there is no logic which undergirds it. It leads to speculation. So the best way to avoid such a circumstance is to be frank with people and to consult. And therefore, going forward, I think, in my view, the council needs to adopt a dual posture, one of contrition, as I said, and consultation, 2 C's, contrition and consultation. Because the fact is that they have materially disrupted the lives of many students. They
didn't. Yeah, but you describe the situation as the decision as reckless. Why would you describe it as reckless?
As I would have said, Mr. Ellis, the idea that we are going into this more uncertain, dangerous environment with respect to COVID-19 in 2021 than it was in 2020, without any provision of modeling that would say to us that we will have a much better situation or that the epidemiological science supports it, then there can be no other conclusion can be drawn than to suggest that it does have a certain level of recklessness attached to it. Because what you're essentially saying is that we haven't, well, there has been a claim that individuals were consulted, but certainly it doesn't appear that CARFA was, it doesn't appear that BAMP was. And so where you are not seeming to pay due regard to the health and well-being, the physical health well-being of students and the invigilators, then there can be no other appellation to attach to it than reckless. But as I said, there could well be evidence that exists to support that conclusion. There could well be, I don't know. But the issue is that if I don't know, then CXC has fell down in its obligation to communicate with its vital key stakeholders, one of which is students. So, as I would have said a moment ago, like in the absence of information, speculation and fear abounds. So that if the council wishes to reduce fear and wishes to reduce speculation, then a frank dialogue with the public, and in particular with key stakeholders such as students and teachers, would be beneficial. But the issue that comes over and over again with the council when you discuss it with persons who know, over the last few years, certainly, is that there has been a lack of consultation with teachers, particularly, and most certainly with students. So teachers are called upon to execute the syllabi of the council without due regard to their particular qualified opinions on the length of the syllabus content or how heavy it is in terms of how detailed, whether it is appropriate for the level at which CXC is aiming or targeting its exams to, whether the examination questions are appropriately structured. All of these things are things that teachers are, perhaps they might hold workshops for teachers to tell them how to do things, rather than listening really in a meaningful and constructive way to the feedback of many of these teachers. The fact is that I spoke about physical health, and when you look at mental health, we've spoken a lot about students, but teachers are under a lot of pressure also. And many of them feel pressured to finish syllabus content, which in an ordinary year takes them the full amount of time to complete as usual. And even in an ordinary year, it can be somewhat burdensome because of the heaviness of the content to finish all of it in the allotted time. Contrast that now with this year that we are dealing with persons using online modality, where you have perhaps problems with internet connectivity, individuals regularly drop out. All of these issues we are encountering, there's a concern about screen time for both students and teachers, because students are doing assignments, which is fine, online, and they're submitting them to teachers. And then teachers will have, let us say, 30 people in a class, and they have then to mark all 30 of those papers for one class on the computer. And so there is real concern about screen time, about the mental health of teachers themselves, of students, and to add further to that burden really and truly can also be described as reckless. And
you speak as student or teacher?
Well, of course I speak as student, Mr. Ellis.